I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
Yeah, it's your boy John Doe. You know what time it is, baby. It's Chocolate City Radio.
Hey, what they do, man? It's your homeboy Blood Raw Chickadee, you feel me? B-Roll Steam, Mr. Motherfucking Ric Flair, jumping off the dresser that he is. Now tell me, right now you chilling with my home girl, Chuck Mommy. You feel me on Chocolate City Radio? Yeah, this shit about to get real wet, homie. Now tell me.
What's happening? This is your man Money D, representing Mask and Digital Underground. And when I'm not having unprotected sex with your mama, I'm chilling out, riding a chocolate wave with my girl Chuck Mommy. You know how we do. We be killing them.
You're listening to The Vibes right now, hosted by the goddess, the queen, my babes, Chalk Mommy. And all of us right now, we all ride in the chocolate wave, because that's the only wave to ride on, isn't it? It's your boy Dylan Dillinger cruising. Let's get it. Boom, bang.
Tony Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? This goes out to all my humans. Right now, you riding the wave right here on Chocolate City Radio, motherfuckers. And I'm the one and only Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about, right here with Chalk Mommy. That's what we do, we get it in, all right? You see me!
What's up, everyone? This is your girl, Danny D, just coming in to let y'all know that I love riding the chocolate wave with my favorite radio host, Chalk Mommy.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
What up? This is your boy Noah Jones, Mr. Get With The Movement, or Move It himself. And right now I'm riding the chocolate wave with my girl Chalk Mommy. Holla at your boy.
Listen to that baby making music.
Hey, this is Vin Keaton, and I'm chilling with Chalk Mommy on Chocolate City Radio, the illest sex talk show.
We can do it all night long.
Hey, yo, what's good, Ja? This is the dude Stylistic. And right now, I'm riding a chocolate wave with my homegirl, Chalk Mommy. Let's get it.
What's up, y'all? This your boy Carter B of 4Play Media Group, and I'm riding a chocolate wave with the Chalk Mommy herself.
What it is, man? Hey, this your boy's Cloud9 right here. You know what I'm saying? And what we doing is we riding the chocolate wave. Like, hey, got our motherfucking goggles on and everything. Let's do it. Hey, Chalk Mommy, fuck with your boys, man. Cloud9. Yo.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
Welcome to Chocolate City Radio. This is your girl, Chalk Mommy. I'm in the fucking building. Yeah, I'm a little turned up. I've had, like, a long-ass day, and I'm going to have an even longer night. First and foremost, got to give God thanks for allowing me to be here, wake up this morning. Also, I was able to secure a liquor sponsor. I am partnering up with Everglow and V2 Vodka. They are a company out of North Carolina, my hometown. And actually, Everglow is a liqueur. It's tequila with vodka with ginseng and caffeine. It is an awesome-ass drink. It glows in the dark. And the same people that made Hypnotic made Everglow, and they sold it to Carolina One. Then they came out with V2, and it's vodka with taurine and caffeine. I have yet to taste that on its own, but I had a Everglow teeny, and it had the vodka in there, and that shit was good. So all I can say is next week, you'll see pictures, you'll see videos. Next week we're going into the studio. We're going to be having crazy ass videos and drinks and stuff like that. And it's just going to be crazy. So what I'm going to do is we have a good night tonight. We have the Pole Magazine calling in. I met them at CIAA last weekend. As a matter of fact, last Saturday. We have Troy to the Vent calling in from Alabama with Mafia DJs. I just joined that site tonight. So it's actually going to be mad crazy. So what I'm going to do is start out with this song. I'm tired of this song, but it reminds me of me. Started from the bottom, now I'm here. Like, I've gone through a whole lot to get to where I'm at right now. I'm still not at the top, but I'm sure as hell ain't at the bottom. So, you know what? I get tired of listening to this motherfucking song, but I'm going to go ahead, play it, because this is what people want to hear, and this is that shit. Here we go. Okay, I don't know what the hell going on right here, but let's go somewhere else. Okay.
south. Hold up, bitches in my thighs. Taking a long bitch, give it to me now. Make that thing pop like it's in me over now. Ooh, baby, like it raw. It's a shimmy, shimmy, yeah, huh? ASAP, get like me. Never met a motherfucker fresh like me. All these motherfuckers wanna dress like me. But the chrome to your dome make you sweat like me. Cause I'm the nigga, nigga. Like how you figure, getting bigger. And fucking bitches, she.
Make my radio known and all that, and I just want to say hi. I got relationship problems, and I just want to talk about it because I'm really feeling bad about it.
How old are you?
Who, me? I'm 18.
You're 18?
Yes, what? Ma'am.
Okay, and you have relationship problems?
Yes, ma'am.
What's wrong?
Well, you know, every time I watch my girlfriend, right, she, run away, and it hurts my feelings, you know, because I'm a sensitive man, you know. And I want a woman that be in my life, you know what I mean?
So just find another one.
Yeah, it's hard, you know. I mean, I know I'm cool, you know, but I play basketball and all that, but it's, hard. I want a sensitive girl that, you know, could take care of me and I could take care of her, you know.
First of all, you don't really want a sensitive female because mm-hmm. she becomes too sensitive and she will get on your damn nerves.
Yeah, I see.
Under you all the time. You
yeah,
want
to
in between shit.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you on that. I really appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Oh, that was so sweet. He has female problems at the age of 18. When you are 18, you should not be wanting no sensitive-ass chick because it's going to come with a fucking price. Man, fuck bitches and be happy. Wait till you 21 to want a relationship. So, fuck different chicks. Go out. Have a good time. You're 18. Hell, my son will be 18 Sunday, and that motherfucker doing it all. So, you know, each his own, but I just think at the age of 18, you really shouldn't settle down with somebody. You should just soak your oats and enjoy the variety. Variety is always good. It's always good. So, you know, I have a guest in the chat room. Rough House News. Ooh, Rough House. I like that. Ooh, kind of makes me think about back in the day when I was getting it rough. Oh, God, let me behave myself. Let me see here. Oh, gosh, I need to learn how to behave myself, but it's so fucking hard, especially when you got ASAP Rocky, Kendrick Lamar, Drake, and 2 Chainz talking about they got a fucking problem, and then you have Kendrick Lamar being like, I know you want this dick. Man, whoo, that's my favorite part in that song. And then I also like the fishay, fishay, you know, I like that. So, you know, you guys have to, like, bear with me. I be having, like, a lot of shit going on. So what I'm going to do is play another song, and then we're going to get back into the show. This one is G2 featuring Bay Love. He will be on the show on Tuesday, and this song is called For Sholey.
Hey, hey. Oh, cause I'm taking shortly. Wish you had a to party. Wish you had to call me nobody party. Wish you had to play the thing around me. Till I met you, promise not to let me go, promise not to let you. But you're the best of my plans since 1982. Take one, I'll be a movie star. Take two, I might be taking you. But now my conscience in it, play the game, play to win it. Look, I fix the 7 voices, man, it's like I'm schizophrenic. But when I'm lonely, I remember all the things you told me. Gotta stay, gotta go, for so, for surely, for surely.
You were so cold, trying to paint a picture, you and me grown old. Round two, feeling real true. Daddy talking out with no game on you. Green light, shorty, let's play. Getting hot and heavy ever since the first day. 2 months, got me in a trap. Never know you're texting me and making it look like
shorty. Wish you had the old school gang at the party. Wish you had the cold and nobody caught it. Wish you had the pretty thing around me.
Party,
party,
like a coke with no Bacardi. Wish I had my pretty
Something to smile about. White fence around the yard. That's our house. Rich nigga shit. Louis luggage on the couch. Rich nigga shit. Louis luggage on the couch. Go.
We be down to me.
bread right. Never sleep on a shawty, got a head right. Never sacrifice your queen, that chest right. And we gon' stay living large, Kelly Price.
Will you be down for me?
Okay, you know what? I don't know what the hell is going on with fucking Skype tonight, but I'm going to leave it alone. I am just going to leave it alone. I'm doing the call-in shit because me and Skype, we're going to fucking fight. I don't know why it keeps telling me I don't have a connection or it keeps dropping and I have a full signal. So I guess motherfuckers is just hating for some reason. I don't know why, but I'm going to go ahead and bring Choi to the vent in. Hi, Choi.
What's good?
You later than a motherfucker.
Well, you know, I'm here, though. Better late than never.
I'm having technical difficulties.
What's going on with Skype?
How are you?
I'm cool. Huh? I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Shout out to Ant from Rutgers Park. I see he's on the line. So what's going on with you? We haven't like had you on the show in a minute. The last time you was on the show was probably like a year or so ago. I'd have to actually go back to my archives and pull it up. And you didn't stay on very long because it was like a really bad thunderstorm that was out in your area. Yeah, and, you know, like typical black people, they don't believe in being on the storm on the phone when it's storming. I feel like this.
Hell no.
If God gonna get you, he gonna get you. So, you know, I still stayed on the phone and you got the hell on.
Right, right. Well, that's what happens. You know, but for some reason I'm in Alabama right now. And it's just cold as hell out here.
I can deal with cold versus, you know, snow and the major storms and everything like that. So why don't you catch everybody up on what's been going on with you since we last had you on the show?
Well, you know, that's funny. You know, I kind of stepped away from the scene. I have been doing music for a while, you know, since 2003. And, you know, I ran into some situations where I just felt like the music in the industry wasn't, you know, appealing to me anymore. You know, I was, a lot of things happened where I just got tired of it. And, you know, all my career I've been, like, working for different labels. You know, I've worked for Slip and Slide. I've worked for artists, you know, which I don't want to name because that means I have to say something negative about them. And it just, it wasn't, you know, panning out for me. So I decided to step away. I had the last business deal with a guy, and me and him was pretty close, and that didn't work out. So after that, you know, I just said, you know, maybe this ain't for me. So I stepped away for like 10 months. And, you know, got myself together, got myself focused, spent more time with my family, got in shape, and just actually just got my life together. And I'll start doing A&R work for the artist Mano out of New York. And, you know, me and him was good friends, and I was, of course, on my dick because once I got out of the music, you know, the money left. And I'm in the world as a civilian. I'm doing the 9-to-5 shit now, and the money wasn't rolling like it was when you were the head of a DJ crew and promoting shows and concerts. So I called him up, you know, he's a good dude, and, you know, I was like, yo, man, I'm on my dick, I need some work. You know, he put a nigga back on his feet, and I just continued to do the A&R work for him, and I end up starting a DJ crew with him called Mafia DJs. And, you know, we up and rolling again. And that's pretty much it in the quickest possible radio time.
Okay, now when you say you was down on your dick, did you ever think about tricking it all? Did you think about, like, damn, shit is looking bad for the home team. I'm going to go out here and sell some dick today. Did you ever think about that?
Well, I never, like, knew if I was could do that. I don't know. I mean, you know. I mean, I didn't know that I could do that. Men sell dick?
Yes! Men sell dick.
Yeah,
men sell hella dick. I don't buy dick, but men sell it.
I didn't know that was possible. I mean, I didn't know. I mean, because I like having sex for free. And, I mean, oh, I get it. I would have had to do some Deuce Bigelow shit, like mess with tall, ugly women and older. Them the only ones that buy it?
No, it's a lot of women out here that actually buy dick. They rather buy dick than have a relationship and, you know, be bothered.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought that. I didn't know that you could do that. I mean, at the end of the day, I should have thought about that. Really, I should have.
Now, being in the industry, you've worked with a lot of artists, like a lot
right.
of artists, and you formed friendships with a lot of artists, right?
Right.
So, you know, one of your friends has been in the news quite a lot the last few months, right? And I'm referring to Mr. Rosé himself, Rick Ross. Now, with
mm-hmm.
everything that Ross has going on, and I swear, the last thing was, you know, on his birthday with the drive-by and everything like that. Like, what, when you, like, speak to him, like, how do you, like, you know what I'm saying, how do you give your friend comfort? Because that's some serious shit to go through, you know what I'm saying? And me, I'm like a normal person. I'm a female. I'm like, I would be shook as hell. But then it's like, you know, when you hear something like that about your friend, like, you pick up the phone, like, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth?
Well, to tell you the truth, like, you know, men are a little different from women. I mean, and, you know, Ross don't got so big right now, you know. It's not like when we was friends when he was just the average rapper. You know, he's like one of the biggest rappers in the world now. And when I basically see him and do talk to him, it's like I'm trying to just like ask him for everything I can. And I don't, you know, we won't bring up, like, one time I was in school, right, and I had a girlfriend, and the bitch cheated on me, right? And she cheated with a dude, and, you know, my friends knew about it, but they would not say nothing to me about it because that's, like, one of them things that, you know, you don't talk about among, like, we know about it. I mean, they might have talked about it with each other or, you know, behind my back, but they ain't going to come. Like, little Tristle, how do you feel to have your girlfriend fuck somebody else? And at the end of the day, kind of like when you get shot at when you a real nigga or a gangster nigga, it's kind of like you don't go and ask him. So what was going through your motherfucking mind when they shot at you? So you don't. Well, I don't do that. I would never ask him nothing about that. Usually when I see him, he's so big now and on such a high level that I just be like, hey man, I need drops. I need you to come do a show for me. I need you to take $10,000 off the show. I need to make some money. You know, I'm trying to get everything I can from him because he's so big. And, you know, that's most of the time he's a humble dude and he always, you know, show love and do that. But I don't never say nothing about that shit, like that gang shit, because he can't. I will say this, and he's never said this to me, so I'm going to say that first. He's never said this to me, but I know how real niggas think. Real niggas can never let niggas extort them, because it will never stop. And next, the Crips will be after them, and then the Bloods, and then the goddamn homosexuals, and then everybody. Like, but until you know, everybody is extorting him. You know what I mean? He's not gonna let that happen. That's all I'm gonna tell you about that. But he's never said nothing to me about it, I never said anything to him about it. You know, I'm just happy sometimes. Like, you know, this man, he did it. He came from a city and he always visualized himself as being a great rapper, and no matter what nobody said about him, he is that now.
Hello? Oh, wow.
Yeah, he is that, though. Yeah. Can you hear me, Chuck?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
So,
okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So, now, working with Mano, how was that?
Mano, cool. You know, Mano's a real street nigga, like, really. Whatever people hear about him, it's the truth. I mean, when you with him, you literally have to, like, are we going to be okay? You know, he that type of dude. And, you know, I've reached the age where I'm not that type of dude no more. I don't like getting shot at or getting into a bunch of fights. I mean, I will, but I don't like it. I don't like to be involved in that type of stuff, but... But he's real humble. You know, he's the kind of guy that if you go up to him, Chalk, and ask him for an interview or ask him for a drop or tell him, do you want to come? Yeah, no problem, baby. What time? And to me, that's more important. When a lot of rappers become famous and get big, you know, and you know, he don't have platinum hits. You know, he had High Hater. He had All of the Above. He had the joint with Swiss Beast. I think I might give away $1 million. You know, he's had singles that have went the singles have went platinum, and he's experienced some fame and a little money, and he's still humble, and he's still in the streets. He's still you know, keep it real. It's a good situation, man. A great guy.
Now, you know me, I always got some shit somewhere in.
Mm-hmm.
Cooking, right?
Right.
So
right.
I'm gonna explain a situation to you, right?
Uh-huh.
And I want you to put yourself in the male's shoes, right? And then tell
right.
me what would you do? It's All Star Weekend. You're
yeah.
hanging with your NBA player homeboys, and
right.
you're balling. You're living like an NBA player, right? And
right.
you know, here come the groupies. But,
right.
you know, you're just being a man. Somebody is offering
mm-hmm.
you pussy, and you're taking
mm-hmm.
it. Then,
yeah.
after you smash the pussy, you realize
mm-hmm.
that one of the chicks that you hit was your girlfriend's girl. What would you do?
My girlfriend, homegirl?
But you didn't know it was your girlfriend's. Yeah. But she knew
and
who you was, but you didn't know who she was. Yeah.
I'm like, you trifling bitch. Like, I'll be like first, like, because now you're in a situation now, right? Because now, is she going to go tell? Or, I mean, what can we do to work this out? Or should I call and tell first? I mean, wow. That's like a great, I don't know. I mean, she knew, and I didn't know.
Yeah, now here comes my shitty curveball.
Right.
You get back to your hometown, and you go out with your girl, and then naturally you realize that the bitch is your girl's friend. And then the bitch tells your girl. No, you didn't know till you got back home and you was out with your girl and y'all was double dating. And then the bitch tells your girl that you was fucking everybody, but she doesn't tell your girl that you fucked her. What would you do?
Well,
now, that's the shitty curveball right there.
Well, I mean, what can I do? I mean, I'm going to be like Shaggy.
So would you go back and tell your girl that you fucked her friend, or would you just let it be?
You know, niggas don't supposed to admit to nothing. I mean, you can have. I mean, you ever watch the Shaggy video? I mean, did you ever see that? The Shaggy video, it wasn't me?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. It wasn't me video, but then think about
okay.
it. The public service side is this bitch is in your girl's ear. She knew who you was and she fucked you, but then she goes back and she tells your girl everything but what she did with you.
Listen, I told you when I was in high school, I just ran that down to you. I had my girlfriend cheat on me, right?
Yeah.
And, all right, but listen to this. I told you this really happened to me. I'm thinking like I'm this superstar because, you know, I'm in high school and I'm a baller and da da da. So she told me no at first. She didn't do it. And I wanted to believe her so bad. I was like, yeah, I believe you. I don't believe you a fuck. And if she did it, but if she never would have said she did it, I could have lived with it. It was when she said she did it. It was when she admitted it that it bothered me. Like, I knew she did it, but as long as she never admitted it, I was cool because the ego in me. I think you never admit. When you fuck up, you never admit. If they get you on camera, oh, that one of me, man, that's a nigga look like me. You never admit. You never, ever admit. You know, unless y'all on y'all deathbed and or unless y'all both decide to come clean and, you know, she tell you some shit and you tell her some shit. You never admit. Ever.
Shit. Haven't you heard that saying? Tell the truth and shame the devil. Tell the truth and shame the devil. I know you've heard it.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to his raggedy ass phone. He must be on Verizon. Maybe he'll call back in. I love my show. Now, I'm going to ask somebody else what they would do in that situation. Mr. 9176, hi. Hello.
Oh, work. Why are you forgetting? I'll be the homeboy. It wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
It wasn't me.
But whatever happened to that saying, tell the truth and shame the devil?
It depends on the person who hit the truth.
The truth can be good. The truth can be good. But I feel like if a man is in a situation like that, that this is one time that he's allowed to play the victim because he was victimized.
ain't no victim because at the end of the day, he was wrong. He still was doing his due with while his girl was, while his girl is at home. So they ain't no victim there. I mean, if you just kept your situation where it belongs, you wouldn't be in that situation. So you won't be a victim. Where you living that life, where you living that kind of life, there's a lot of temptations out there, right?
But when you have a girlfriend, you are supposed to be, like, past the temptation because you chose this one particular person to be your shorty.
Absolutely. But, you know, sometimes you don't want to relive the royal oaks. Not that girl.
Live oaks. Interesting. Very, very interesting, because I don't know what that is. That's not something I've experienced.
Oh, come on. Don't be like that. Did you say that you was all up on the porch drinking lemonade all day?
Yeah, I sit in a rocking chair and I drink pink lemonade and smell
really?
The roses. That's what I do.
And they ain't talking about me for no reason. So get up out of here with that BS, yo.
But see, for men, it's different. It's very different because
if you were the girl, how would you take that? What would you do? Because at the end of the day, the girlfriend's the victim at the end of the day.
Okay, now, which part, like the trifling bitch or the bitch that didn't know?
The guy's girlfriend. The trifling bitch, she just...
I would be mad as hell, you know what I'm saying? I would be mad at my dude, but then at the end of the day, I would be more mad at the female because, bitch, you know that's my man. Because I know what friends I've introduced my man to and who I haven't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, bitch, you knew that was my man. So you already had ulterior motives on what the fuck you was going to do if you had the opportunity. You know what I'm saying? So.
Absolutely.
I would be mad at my dude, but I would fuck old girl up. I'd beat the shit out of her.
Well, for I'm hearing that, I mean, she should be on a hunt. She should be on a hunt looking for a girl that's trifling.
Yeah.
To go beat her ass?
Yeah, because I would just be like, why? Like, I don't know. When females tell me shit about my man, me being who I am, in the back of my mind, bitch, what's your ulterior motive for telling me this?
That's what I'm saying. Like me, if I see my boy girl doing her, I'm not going to be one to tell. I'm like, oh, word? Okay. I give her that look like it's my man's. But I'm not gonna be the one to tell him that, yo, I saw your girl with such dude, and I'm not going to be the one doing that. Because at the end of the day, it's really up to him at the end of the day. Like, yo, I'm not going to be the one to show it home. I want him to witness his own experience of what she's doing. Because they're going to look like, he hating, he cop knocking, trying to show it home. He don't know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to look at the ass. I won't be the one to tell. But if you were the guy's girl, how long will you take to not talk to her? Talk to him.
The way that I would see it is, like, I would have to take everything in, and then I would be like, you know, I would have to weigh the pros and the cons out, because I'm such an analytical person, right? And I would just be like, why the fuck did you tell me what my man was doing? Like, what is it? Like, I would have to question her for coming back and telling me when we all out at dinner, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I would have to be like, okay, bitch, you with your man, I'm with my man, and I know my man don't know you, but, like, how was you even able to know what the fuck he was doing? How you know who he was fucking? Was you in the room? See, that's just how my mind thinks. So was you in the room when my man was fucking? Did you actually see his dick go into something? How can you, how do you know this for sure to come back and tell me?
That's what I'm saying. She knew to ask herself that, but a lot of women is not like you. You know?
And see, and then I would have to break it down even more to where, okay, like, okay, my man cheated, but at the same time, it's something more to this. And then, you know, I would rather my man come out and tell me everything. Once the bitch dropped the bomb, I would rather him come back and tell me everything else there is, because I'm already mad. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody can really answer the question. Like, my man ain't really going to come out and say, okay, All-Star Weekend, I fucked hoes and bitches. You know what I'm saying? But I have this girl that's supposed to be my friend telling me that my man was fucking like he was an NBA basketball player, but ain't nobody giving me no clarity. So how the fuck do you know what my man is doing? Then that would be the time for my man to just be like, I fucked up. I didn't know that was your girl. And yada, yada, yada. I mean, because it is what it is. It's already fucked up. Shit is already fucked up.
True.
So, like, what else can you do?
That's true. I mean, you're
so then I ain't going to really put hands on my man, but I'm going to beat the shit out of the girl because, like I said, you had ulterior motives. You went to All-Star Weekend knowing who the fuck my man was. And you was just waiting for your opportunity to get what the fuck I had. Then you come back and you get in my ear and you tell me everything my man did, but you forget to tell me that you was one of the bitches that my man fucked. Then on top of that, you probably still calling my man because my man got good dick and he dicked you down really good because I know how my man give it up. So that's going to anger me even more. That bitch liable to get fucking cut. Like, fuck, I'm going to beat her ass, then I'm going to fucking cut her. I'm going to cut a letter C in her motherfucking cheek. So every time she look in the fucking mirror, she'll be like, Chalk ain't nothing to play with.
Damn.
Now, hold that thought, because now we're going to talk about some strippers, because we have the Pole magazine in the building.
Word.
Hello, J. Lou.
What's happening?
Damn, y'all later than the motherfuckers.
we always on time, baby.
Mr. Ant, this is J. Lou from the Pole magazine. At CIAA last weekend, I had the opportunity of meeting them at DJ Small's fucked up meet and greet because it was fucked up. And he moved it to a hotel, and I got to meet them, which was cool. Then I got to see this chick that was short with a big ass and blonde hair like Tiny, but she looked a little better than Tiny. She didn't have all that cosmetic shit going on in her face, but she had a fat ass, though. The dude liked the ass. Like, I'm still trying to debate if it was real or not because, you know, coming from CIAA and strippers and asses, you know, a lot of times that shit don't be real. But, you know, they have a magazine called the Pole magazine, and they deal with people in the adult entertainment world of dancing. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here, bro.
So go ahead and talk about it.
Okay, I'm going to let my man Shy fill you in on that because he's more one-on-one with the ladies.
Go ahead, Kim. Tell them what it's about.
Okay.
This is what we have. We have an adult gentleman's magazine. It's more of a lifestyle magazine. We talk about cars, clothes, most expensive vacation spots, jewelry. At the same time, we have a magazine that's the models are dancers. We try to let them get some shine instead of the little skinny stick women that's in most magazines. That's what. What's up? Why are you laughing?
When you said the little skinny females, wow.
There's nothing wrong with the skinny female. I'm saying, in most magazines, you have the skinny stick women, most. And there's really no magazine out that has stripper models. No, it's not one. So not of this caliber and quality anyway. But I haven't seen it if it is.
I would have to agree because I saw the magazine and it was really nice. And the poses that the females did, they were very tasteful. And it was nothing cheesy in there. So I have to say, you know, I started from the back and worked my way to the top, and I really liked it.
Thank you.
I'm glad. Thank you very much. We worked on this magazine for about 2 years. We started out trying to be just a stripper magazine, but then it kind of transitioned into a lifestyle type of magazine. It was urban, and now we just wanted to be a gentleman's book. So I think it's something new, different, classy. You won't see anything like it. A little edgy, which is good. It's non-nude. So you pick it up at polemag.com for a digital copy. It's inexpensive at $2.99. And we talk about skydiving, skateboarding, technology, it's so many different things that we talk about, investing in yourself, just a whole lot of good things. So.
Oh, the cover was nice because that chick has some nice nipples. I'm a titty chick, and I'd be like, ooh, I wish I was a breastfed baby. It's like, damn. Her ass was nice, too.
Hey, yo, Chop, can I ask you something? It's J-Lo.
Yes.
Since you went through it, you know, from the front cover to the back cover, what was your favorite part of the mag? Can you let us know, so give us some feedback?
I would have to say the front and the back, because like I said, I'm a titty chick. I was just like, ooh. But then when I started flipping through the pages and I saw the fashion and I saw the actual interview with Verse and then the alcohol sponsors and, like he said, the vacation getaway, I was actually thinking that when I opened up, when I saw the cover, I just thought it was just going to be bitches throughout the magazine. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, But it shocked me because it was balanced and it had a lot of stuff in there. So if you looked at the cover, you would see that it was just more than, you know, thinking that it was just going to be a bunch of naked women and everything in there. So it was, like, well put together and well thought of and everything like that. So I have to give you guys your props. And then, like you said, it was, like, it took you 2 years to make the magazine and get it out.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
So it's like, how did you guys come up with the concept to do the magazine? I guess y'all had seen enough of The King and everything like that, and then you noticed that, okay, well, this is the type of magazine we're going to do because we haven't seen anything like that, so we're going to be the first on the market to make our mark.
Well, our CEO, which is Shafiq, he's kind of shy, but he brought it to me, Quincy, and he just said he had saw several magazines, and like you say, all of them were the same. Everything was the same. The girl posing with her butt up, with her hands on the hood of some exotic car. And he brought it to me and said, let's do some a magazine, something artistic, something different to open some eyes. And it was pretty rough at first, trying to get people to get on board. You know, you walk up to somebody with a business card and you say, hey, I'm doing a magazine. Would you like to to be in it. And, you know, how some of the chicks, they give you a side eye, like, whatever, who are these cats? So now that we're here, you're getting a different look. You're getting the bubble eye look, like, hey, how you doing? You know, but a lot of thought detail, a lot of pain went into it. A little arguing, and it came out to be beautiful. So it was just the thoughts of a couple of people, and made a dream a reality.
Okay, now this is like something that I always like to be. You know, I like to ask, like, when you're working with women, and especially dancers, entertainers, strippers, whatever you want to call them, you know what I'm saying? I just call them women about their money. How many of those women that y'all went through the pictures and, you know, like, venting, you know, tried to give you the pussy? Like, just straight up just was like, okay, I want to be in this magazine. I'll suck your dick. I'll give you some ass. Whatever the fuck they felt they had to do to get in that magazine. Did y'all ever come across that?
No.
See, the thing was, most of them ain't really think it was going to pop, like, as hard as it did. You feel me? So they were acting like standoffish. I had this one girl sitting there. She was like, well, I want to know who's behind it. What's going on? You know, what's the budget? And this is then the third. I looked at it. I said, you know what? I'm behind it. I said, I'm gonna tell you something else. I said, if I had some money, I wouldn't be in pinup strip club right now, trying to get you to pose in a magazine for me. I'll probably be in Waikiki on a white sand beach, sipping on some pina coladas and shit like that. I said, when T.I. started rapping. He started rapping, not because he had money, because he was trying to get some money. Then she was like, you know what? I'm fucking with you. I'm going to mess with you. Still ain't come show up for the photo shoot. You feel me?
Son of a bitch sold you out.
Yeah, so, you know, it was like pretty much like pulling teeth, you know what I mean, with people in the beginning, you know what I mean? But then, you know, it's funny how, you know, things change around because the product is here and everybody's like, oh, we just thankful that people are receiving the product well. But the people that was involved in the product throughout the process that gave us hell and was on some bullshit, now they all like, well, listen, can I promote? Well, they want to work extra hard now. You feel what I'm saying? And we like, where was all this energy and tenacity and this diligence at when you was making phone calls and y'all was ducking out phone calls to get stuff done and shit, you know? It's just crazy, you know what I mean?
Damn. But you know what? I feel your pain, because when I started, nobody took me serious. And then, like, a year in, you know, I was still trying to reach out to the same people. And, you know, everybody was still like, they was giving me pleasant no's. You know what I'm saying? First it was strong no's. Then it was like, And then, like, now it's like everybody that told me no, it's calling my phone, hit me on Twitter, DMing me on Twitter, like, yo, how can I? You can't. You missed the boat. Like, the first year in, I tried to fuck with you. Halfway in the second year, I tried to fuck with you. So it's like, miss me with that bullshit and cry me a river.
Right. And then you got the ones where it's not necessarily a straight up no, but it might be, for example, a couple chicks that I brought to the table or tried to bring to the table, you know, because we had known each other or whatnot, and, you know, so whatever come about, all right, let's work. Well, when I presented the magazine to these ladies, it was, you know, I didn't have a product in my hand already out, so they could visually see it. It was more so a dream, and they almost feel like you're feeding them a dream, you know. And then you have to go into overdrive as a salesman, and it's like, you know, it shouldn't even have to be that much. If you understand business and you understand how to work with people, and it's not always going to be peaches and cream in the beginning, but if you put in the work, you're going to reap the benefits. And they didn't do it. You know, I got a couple text messages and callbacks, but it wasn't nothing serious. You know, when it was time for the photo shoot, I can't get in contact with you or whatever the case may be. But now it's like, oh, why you ain't hit me up? Why I ain't hit you up? You must not have a time, you know what I'm saying, a text message inbox or something like the rest of us. But, you know, it's all good. So
yeah,
those people who are supposed to be a part of it are part of it. You know, and there's no hard feelings to the ones who are not, you know.
They're just on the sidelines looking in like, damn, I should have just stepped out on faith and just took a chance with these guys and did this damn photo shoot, and that could have been my ass or my titties on the cover.
But I think now they're going to be trying to give niggas on pussy. They're going to be trying to throw some pussy. They ain't got to worry about it now. They're going to be trying to get that pussy up quick.
And I couldn't be a dude because a bitch would have to pay me. I'm sorry. You want this dick? You want to be in my magazine? Oh, you trying to give me some pussy? Oh, I'm going to need some ends to go with that because pussy is not going to be enough for me.
That's the move.
Well, for one of y'all, for the other one, that ain't even an option.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. That's the move right there because I'm thinking, like, you know, they got to come with a little more than some pussy, period. Everybody's fucking. That's season. We playing. It's just, don't say.
Yeah. It ain't even about that now. Fucking and getting the pussy and all of that. Cause, you know, either they gonna fuck with you or they not. It ain't even about what you could do for me. You know what I'm saying? We all the way legit with it. So it ain't like we have to do that. You don't have to be in a magazine, you know. So it ain't really nothing they could do for us as far as giving up the pussy. Because if you're going to do that, you're going to do it anyway, whether you're in the magazine or not.
Like, yo, you know what's funny, too? Like, the chick you're talking about with the blonde hair, Climax, right? That was there. So I was
talking
about doing something with the website. I'm like, you could do something with the website. You're going to have some girls in there, blah, blah, blah. She's like, oh, yeah, contact my manager. So when I told my business partner, I told Q what she said, and he was like, man, she's trying to get some money. But with your understanding, we ain't paying nobody. This is all free exposure for you. When was the last time you've been in a magazine? Probably never. So me talking to your manager about what? What are we going to talk about? I need you at a certain place in time. You talk to your manager about that. We're not even, like, playing them games with people. Like, Q definitely is not paying nobody to be in a magazine unless they Kim Kardashian, he slapping on the cover, give her $1 million. She going to sell probably 1 million-plus copies because she's Kim Kardashian. You, Climax, that work at Strokers, you got to do all the work. You just want to come.
And you have a point there. We call them type of people hood stars. They're content in their hood, or motherfuckers blow their heads up and they think that they're a star. And then when they go out somewhere, it's like, your ass is a star because niggas is going to look at your ass like, damn. But then, when it gets to your face and, you know, you open your mouth, you're like, oh, damn, turn around. I'd rather look at your ass. Because a lot of females are getting the game fucked up. It's like, okay, you go out and you spend all this money on your body, okay? You have this look, right? But then, when it's time for you to do an interview or motherfuckers want to have an intellectual conversation and you open up your mouth and the shit that comes out of there is like, what the fuck? Like, yo, are you serious?
It don't match.
Yeah, this bitch just fucked up my whole world. Now I got to tell this motherfucker to shut up and I just got to look at her and have an imaginary intellectual conversation in my head with this dumb asshole.
Right.
And females don't understand. Like, after a while, your ass shots is going to fall down or your implants going to start moving. And then what the fuck is you going to have to offer somebody? Nothing. And if your hand game ain't a felony, you're going to be fucked up. You're just going to be going through the motions of trying to find your stroke.
True that.
You don't understand. You got to have a plan after the strip club, after you do all these magazines and stuff like that. what is your game plan after that? What type of legacy do you plan to have for yourself, the longevity? You guys don't have a business.
Understand that. They looking at it like a one-hit wonder, you know, like they already, like you said, like they already made. You know, if you ain't Kim Kardashian, you ain't made, like, flat out. Or you got a false perception of what made is.
And Kim Kardashian, she got to keep fucking different people to stay relevant.
Right. Or anytime somebody want to work with you, or, you know, you think you could do some work for somebody, they always got to, you always got to benefit more than them, you know, for whatever reason. Why both parties can't benefit equally.
Because it doesn't work like that. A lot of females think like that.
Yeah. And a lot of them got it misconstrued. Like, you're not all that, boo-boo. You're really not.
But see, that's what, I fault men for that. Because some men sit up here and gas these females up, and then they get this complex. And then when a real motherfucker come to them and try to tell them, like, yo, baby girl, I don't know what the fuck these last few niggas told you, but you really not that chick. Like, take away your weave, take away your ass shots, take away your implants, then what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Take away the fact that you in the back of the club sucking mad dicks and tricking. Then what in the fuck do you have? I can see you on the street and you'll be a bird ass chick. You'll be an average ass chick. I would not even pay you no motherfucking attention.
Looking like a poop putt.
See, men be gassing women up. I mean, y'all saw her this weekend. Bitch ugly as hell, but she had a fat ass. Like, yo, damn, that bitch bad. Wow, bad wear. They did it all weekend long. Or females wear some of the craziest shit. Men look it, and they're looking like, I can't believe this bitch would really wear that. And it's not like they're looking good, and they're just like, I can't believe how crazy she looked. But she's taking it as an, oh, yeah, they think I look good because I got this on, not realizing that they look crazy. So it's like, at the end of the day, I know your job is different because you're looking for a different caliber of woman for your magazine, because it's not just a stripper magazine. You're portraying women, even though they're dancers, they're business women that have something else outside of that pole going on. Or even if they don't, you can make it seem like they do.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of the girls that we did take photography of, they had great personalities. Wasn't any snootiness or anything of the sort. Like, surprisingly, pleasantly surprised that they were that way. And the shoots were fun and joyful, and we actually recorded it, and we're gonna have it on our member site behind the scenes called the Girls Locker Room, where you can see the behind the scenes footage, and you can see their personalities. And I think people would be surprised that these girls could speak fun and good personality, good people.
And see, that's what I like to see. I don't like women to be portrayed as just objects of sex or tricking or doing what they got to do to climb the ladder of success. I like for women to have brains, like sex cells. You know what I'm saying? So when you're a dancer, men have this fantasy of, like, if I give her enough money, just maybe, I'll get that. And that's when I tell men that, okay, you know what? There's three ways of paying for pussy: directly, indirectly, and layaway. Any motherfucker that hang out at a strip club is putting pussy on layaway, because he feels like if he spend enough money on that motherfucker, one day she gonna fuck around there and get him some pussy, but he gonna have to be a couple of stacks in already. And men be like, whoa. And I be like, think about it. Go to the strip club and you always got the motherfuckers that you know ain't ever going to get no pussy from a chick, but they keep spending, and eventually one day they just going to come with a big amount, and then the chick going to think about all the money that they done spent and being loyal, and she might fuck around there and give them a little something, whether it's you can lick my pussy, you can finger my pussy, lick at my pussy, it's going to be something out of the norm other than that normal dance or that VIP lap dance.
Mm, a little extra.
Yeah. So men that go to the strip clubs, when y'all be talking about y'all making it rain, okay, yes, y'all making it rain, but y'all also putting pussy on layaway, and you're putting yourself into my paymaster club. Because all men pay for pussy in one form or fashion. I'm just saying.
That's
so if you go to the strip club and you tipping the bitch, you're putting the pussy on layaway. So what's next for the Pole magazine?
The world, Craig. We taking over the world.
Yeah, we're gonna keep pushing.
One pole at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Try to get as big as possible, as fast as possible, to try to get some more visibility. We appreciate you having us on your show. Just out here in these streets and trying to please and make our customers happy with a new, great, positive product.
Question. Now, how do photographers from different parts of the United States, how do they submit for your magazine?
Their information at thepolemag@gmail.com. They can submit their info. Even aspiring models who are dancers, they can submit their information there also. Mainly a headshot and a body shot. No filters or any of that crap at thepolemag@gmail.com. Why are you laughing? No filters, right?
So all you Instagram hoes that just cut all y'all out.
Hey, man.
We welcome the Instagram love. We just no filter that thing.
That is too funny. That is like too funny. Okay, now what about females that aren't dancers but they're in the adult entertainment? Like, you know, you have like the porn stars.
It's not for them because the magazine is geared towards strippers. You can go in the store right now and pick up a porn star magazine. We can pick up a porno. But strippers don't got their own lane. This is what we doing. We give them their platform, their voice, their time to shine. So if she fucking on tape and all that, we can't do nothing for them. The love is still there. We still love them, you know. I was raised on pornos, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, this is for the strippers. You know what I'm saying? This
okay.
is for them.
Now, what if she wears new hats? What if she's a stripper/porn star?
We still can't rock with her because, you know what I'm saying? This is strictly fucking for a buck. We can't do that. Even though some strippers do fuck for a buck, but they just not on tape selling videos. So, you know, you got to keep it where it's at. You can't take away from the realness of the magazine. The quality of the product. You feel me? You got to tamper with our quality.
Oh, God, this is too damn funny because a bunch of strippers is going to cuss y'all the fuck out. Some adult entertainment is probably going to send y'all death threats via email, Twitter, and Instagram.
Nah, man, everybody knows strippers do their thing. You feel what I'm saying? It's all welcome. You know what I mean? Anybody get down. Any female get down for the right price. I mean, she ain't got to be a stripper. She could be going to Georgia State, Virginia State. You feel what I'm saying? I mean, it is what it is. That's just a part of life.
Right. And to be fair to the ladies who do dance, we know that it's something out here selling. But we don't throw everybody into this big old bag and shake it up and say, hey, all the girls selling the cookies. So We're not saying that. It's some that's out here who are nursing school, trying to get their degrees in whatever field that they choose to go into. And I think that's where I hope that you want to look at the positive in it, because it's a legal profession. Nothing wrong with it. People love it. People love women, beautiful women, and men love beautiful women that are strippers. So there's nothing wrong with what they do, period. And we love them for it, or we would be in business.
For real, for real. Mm-hmm. Well, the girl, Bambi DeBody, that work at Diamonds of Atlanta, she just graduated from Georgia State. You feel me? Like, she just graduated this year. So that's just a prime example. You feel me?
Of course.
Yeah, I had busting moves, too.
And guess what? She don't owe nobody for student loans.
Because you actually have a dancer in Atlanta, and she's like a really good friend of mine, Twin Gage. And me and her, she's like the first female I ever did a photo shoot with. And it's like when I would sit there and watch her dance, it would like really shock me because it was, she had a love for it, and it would upset her because you got the girls that's coming in that got the fake titties, the fake ass, because all her shit was real, and they're turning the tricks and everything like that, right? And then It's like she would just be like, it makes it bad for females that's in the game for the love of the game. And so then she was like, I'm not going to be a stripper for, you know, like the rest of my life, because she's 32 and she started when she was 18. So then she went to school for welding. And I think she went ahead and she graduated because she was like, she did her last dance in the club last year or something like that, and she announced it, and she was on DoFat TV, and she was like one of the big crowd, you know, bringing a lot of people, and I just respected her so much because I'm like, when I would sit there and see her dance, it was like, it was in her heart. It was like a fucking passion. It wasn't like, oh, I got to trick off, I got to do this, because she was just like, that's not something that she did. She went to work, and she's like, even if that meant walking out with $2-3 because she didn't conform into what everybody else was doing, then she was like, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have to respect her because, you know, She did the school thing, and, you know, what she's taken up is, like, mostly for men. So it's just like, okay, you know, not a problem. You got to respect that. And I like dancers, you know, the way that they be working the poles and making their booty clap and twerking and all that other stuff like that. And then I respect them even more when they let men know, like, oh, you can't touch this.
Right.
That's even better because, you know, a man, men always respect what they can't have.
And it also makes it better for the business, and it makes it easier and lightens the load when you're actually working with them, because you don't have, it's a mutual respect, and you know, the next time it'll be that much easier, you know, because there was no BS at the beginning, nobody tried to have sex with this person and that person, and, you know, it was all respectful, and everybody played their part, and it, you know, that way you can do business and network further in the future. I mean, it's all about progress with us.
Interesting. So, like, what advice do you have for aspiring, like, let me say, for instance, the females that are in high school that's just like, okay, they can't wait till they turn the legal age so they can go into the club and dance and stuff like that. Because, you know, men can give females advice from a male perspective because you know what you respect, you know what you don't respect, you know what you want to see, what you don't want to see, and you also know what you need to see, or you know what a female needs to do to keep it classy. So for aspiring dancers, especially females that are young in the mind, what advice would you give them, especially having a magazine that's just for females that know how to entertain men by giving them that illusion of a dance or giving them that illusion of climbing up the pole and then coming back down?
I think it's two things that are a different angle that I would pursue if I was the young lady who said she had a mind made up that she was going to the club. I would tell her be about her business because you hear, I've been going to the strip club for years, and I've seen people grow up in the club, be 21, and then 10 years later, I'm still going, and you still doing what you're doing in the club. Put your money up, because it comes fast, and I think some of the ladies, they spend it fast. Be about your business. If you putting up $100 a day, you going to work, you saving it. You shouldn't be, or you don't have to be in the club 15 years. There's no way. That's what I would say. If you're going to go into this profession, get something out of it. Don't just go it and live the fast life, the nightlife. So that's what I would say.
That's a good answer. That's good. I mean, because this is coming from a man, and I just feel like when it comes to something like that, females can tell females about the game and men and stuff like that, but a man can tell a female what he wants to see, what's going to make him come back, what's going to make him give up that bread, and what he considers classy. Because, you know, you're the one that's coming into the club, you're looking at her, and you're handling what you got to handle.
Well, I would touch on that as far as dancers and young dancers. Classy is the best way to go. Men respect it. Women respect it, too. They might not say it, but I would suggest that they carry themselves. I know strippers personally, and the ones that I'm close to, I mean, you talk about class. I mean, she's doing her thing as far as I'll tell you where she goes to school. She goes to FAU, and it's one of those things where if you carry yourself outside the club in a classy manner, nobody even know you're a dancer.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? But there's also the dancers who, that's their advertisement outside the club. You know, from the way they dress into the, you know, what they drive. I mean, it's just the way you move and carry yourself. Men know, women know. You know, or they assume if they don't know. And if you carrying yourself that way and you're not a dancer or whatnot, then that's I don't know what to tell you about that. But I would just say keep it classy and be a lady, because you could be a lady and still be in this profession. There's plenty of them, and
true.
I have nothing to respect for them. So, but there's also some that I wouldn't even give a second look to. You just don't carry yourself in the right way. It's hard to work with you. So I just say keep it classy and be a lady wherever you go.
That's very insightful, and I hope the young people that are listening are taking heed, because it's like, you know, being in a strip club, Players Club, does not symbolize or represent all the fucking strip clubs in America. You know what I'm saying? You know, what you see on TV does not really represent what really happens. You know, now bitches getting their ass whooped. Now, yeah, that do happen. But, you know, for the most part, you can go in there, be about your business, make your money, and then get the hell on. You know what I'm saying? The one thing that you can say in Players Club, make your money, don't let your money make you. And, you know, for people that know me, I used to hustle, and I went to prison. But when I went to prison in Georgia, I went to the fucking the one in Atlanta. God, I forgot what they call it. Diagnostics. Right there. In Atlanta. I had the opportunity of meeting this chick named Felicia Blakeney, and I didn't know that she was like a serial killer in Georgia because she was like a young chick. She started dancing in the club when she was 15. You know what I'm saying? She always carried herself as an older female or whatever. And she was saying that when she first started going into the club, she was about her money. She wasn't about the tricking and the side things that was going on. But then she met this one guy, and he got her off point. He got her from being one of those females that came to the club. She danced and made her money and went home and took care of her son to tricking, becoming his bottom bitch, to fucking killing people. So now here she is, never coming home again, fucking with this dude that turned her out, got her killing people, and she's HIV positive. You know what I'm saying? And I think Tupac's mom wanted to write a book about her life because, you know, from the age of 15 to 18, she's seen it all, done it all, and now her life is over and she knows it. For the rest of her life, her little boy has to come visit her in prison. And she didn't stay focused and keep that plan that she had. I'm just going to go to the club, dancing, make my money, all that extra shit, that tricking, you know what I'm saying? If she just would have stuck to her plan, she may have been free now. And, you know, a lot of the grief that she's going through, you know, she wouldn't be going through, and she wouldn't have all those bodies hanging over her head.
That's real.
And I mean, it's easy for people to be like, okay, I have a plan A, I have a plan B. But sometimes it's like temptation comes across your path for a reason, and you have to stand firm in what you believe in and what the goals that you set for yourself, and just be like, no, I'm dancing, this, that, and the third. You know what I'm saying? I want to be one of those, like, when people remember me, like, oh, my God, she was a good dancer. I saw her in this magazine. She always conducted herself as a lady. I never seen her doing any extracurricular or anything like that. She wasn't a troublemaker. She wasn't loud. She wasn't always on the stage popping mollies and sweating and all in Trinidad James' face, knowing he's ugly than a motherfucker. You know, she's it's like just about her business. So you guys, y'all are in a position where y'all gonna see the good, the bad, the ugly, the in between, and the shit that nobody else would ever think over. Y'all are gonna see it all because of your magazine and weeding out the good shit with the bad shit to make sure that the females that are on point are represented to the fullest.
Right.
Yep.
See, y'all have a hard job.
It's fun though.
Because
it's really
now that
fun.
The magazine is out, woo! Y'all gonna get hit with so much bullshit.
Yeah.
Y'all just gonna be like, damn. Y'all just gonna be scratching your head, calling each other in the middle of the night, be like, yo, did you get that email? Did you see that shit? Or when y'all out and about, yo, did you see how that chick just came up and approached us? And, oh, gosh.
Yeah, you sure right.
And then,
stay focused.
Yep.
You have to, especially the one that's in a relationship, because it takes a strong person to be with somebody in the adult industry. And then it's like when you say adult industry, it's so many dumb motherfuckers out there that they automatically think that you're talking about porns and stuff like that, and you're not. You're dealing with females that's entertaining men and giving them a mental fantasy while dancing and taking their clothes off to a minimum, you know what I mean? So it's like a female that has a man that's up in the club, that's taking pictures of beautiful women, that's nude, semi-nude, certain poses that may be considered compromising, is like they have to have a strong union to be like, I trust my man to the utmost. My man comes home every night when he's not, I know he's out on business, but I trust my man with my life. And that makes your job a lot easier. Did you ever go through a situation where there was some insecurities and there were some problems when you let your partner know, hey, I'm about to start this magazine and this is what this magazine contains?
There were never any insecurity issues, simply because the bond was built so long ago as friends first. So we would catch ourselves in situations to where she would go to the club, even a strip club, on her own or with her friends or whatnot. And I didn't have a problem with it. I still don't, and vice versa. So as far as getting into the adult industry, as you call it, with the magazine, it was an easy transition. When I let her know about it, it was 100% support because she knows I'm all business-minded. And whatever I do, and this is verbatim, you know, out of her mouth, she said, you know, whatever you do, I support you because I trust you. And I can't do nothing but love that. So it's easy for me. I had no problem with it.
Well, I had a different situation. One photo shoot, we bought some Ciroc, and I don't drink. And I came home smelling like Ciroc. And the response I got was, you don't drink. Why do you smell like liquor? And I was like, we had the photo shoot, yada yada, we having fun, and I had a couple of drinks too. Her response to me is, so you drinking with the hoes? And she was like, you won't even have a drink with me, but you're drinking with the hoes. And I was like, well, they're not hoes. And I had a couple of drinks, and that's what it was. But we're no longer together today, so hey, that's what
I'm
it
sure.
is.
Damn,
but that is true. I mean, you
hoes.
Can find yourself in situations where you have to defend yourself when there was no crime committed, you know, or no foul intentions, you know. So you're always going to have to deal with that if you're in a relationship and this is your job. You know, there's going to be situations where you find yourself at video shoots or photo shoots and it's smoking and drinking and, you know, that whole thing is going on in the atmosphere and you just, you know, doing your job. Then when you come home, if it's certain things that your partner, you know, doesn't like or whatever the case may be, that's another thing that you have to deal with. So it's just walking the fine line between, you know, not mixing business and pleasure and, you know, just knowing your boundaries and knowing your partner, too, at the same time. And knowing where you can, you know, where to draw the line.
That's deep. Because I know a lot of people tell me, they be like, oh, you should date somebody that's in the industry and stuff like that. Because for me, when I try to date someone, it's like they just can't deal with the whole Chalk Mommy persona and the fact that I deal with so many entertainers, rappers, or whatever, but it's strictly professional. I don't cross that line because to me, it's like industry dick is the worst dick because everybody done had it. It ain't shit that they can offer me that ain't nobody else been offering. You know what I mean? So I just keep everything in proper perspective, and then it's like I sit there and try to do extra shit to compensate to make the motherfucker feel bad about, you know, the whole situation. And then it's like, you know, if you have a high sex drive and you like the fuck, then that's the problem. So then it just gets to the point where you're like, you know what, fuck it. I'm just be single and I'm just going to smut and slut niggas out and keep it moving. And then that's kind of bad because then it's like you get tired and you want a relationship, or you come across people from New York and that's in Brooklyn that deal in the basketball industry that's scared of you, and you just be like, damn, like, I wish I wasn't Chalk Mommy, or I wish my pussy wasn't so good, or I wish I wasn't so open, because then it wouldn't scare motherfuckers away. So then you just get a toy. You have a toy sponsor. He sends you all kinds of dildos, and you just fuck yourself, and then you don't have those problems anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, you got me scared, and we just on the radio. I'm scared. You stay your ass where you at.
And, you know, the videos don't help. And, you know, when I have T-shirts that say I fuck on the first night and my head game is a felony, I mean, you know, I'm proud of that shit. Motherfuckers just be like, damn.
Hey,
wow.
Yo, that's what I wanted to ask you about. What can you break down the whole fuck on the first night thing and your perspective on that?
And can you get me a 2X in that shirt? I need it.
You fuck on the first night?
Yeah, I need that.
It's like, fucking on the first night, I feel that that's mandatory, because my thing is, you sit here, you be cupcaked on the phone talking to somebody, and you start having a phone relationship. You know what I'm saying? You go out to dinner, and you hang out, and you start liking the person. But then you spend all this time courting each other. You know, you might be 2, 3, 4 weeks in, a month in, and then it's like you fuck, and the shit is just nasty. You've wasted your time. I can't be one of those females. And I told females, stop making motherfuckers wait 90 days to fuck you. That is not cute, because that's 90 days of putting up with your bullshit, and then when you give them the pussy, it's not what they expected, and they don't want it no more, and they don't want you. My thing is, fuck 90 days, fuck in the first 90 minutes. You know what I'm saying? See if you're sexually compatible. If you're sexually compatible, then boom, everything else will fall into place. Oh, we can go to the club. We can go to the movies. You can come spend the night. You know what I'm saying? I can introduce you to my friends. You know what I'm saying? I can give you head while we driving down the street and all that kind of shit. We can fuck in the back seat, pull over on the side of the road, all that kind of shit like that. But my thing is, fucking on the first night does not make you a hoe. Because what females need to understand, A man gonna think you a hoe whether you give him the pussy the first night, the second night, or if you've been with that motherfucker for a year. You could be fucking him straight for a year. Nobody else. He see you talk to another motherfucker, not knowing that's your homeboy, your cousin. You a fucking hoe. So don't get caught up with the assumption or what people think if you giving up the pussy easy. They're just mad because you're doing what they can't do. So people can call me a hoe all they want to. I'm a hoe that everybody won't, because I'm honest. I do the shit that nobody else will do or think about doing. I'm going to fuck you on the first night, and I'm going to tell you if it's good. And if it's not good, you're not going to finish. You're going to get the hell out of my bed, or I'm going to get the hell up out your bed and your crib. So, ladies, please don't get caught up in that. Give the nigga some ass. Like, at the end of the night, grab his hand, pull him in the house, or be like me, be a backseat fucker, fuck him in the backseat, fuck up his whole world, be like, you know, just play that song, I got a fucking problem, and then when Kendrick Lamar be like, girl, I know you want this dick, you grab his dick and you take it, embrace the dick on the first night, fucking on the first night is good for the soul. I'm just saying.
That's what's up.
Hell, preach.
I'm glad to know what to say when I wear my shirt. When I get my shirt, If somebody asks me what it means, I know what to say now.
Yes, right. I mean,
good for the soul.
Yes,
put that on.
It's
that
good
on
for the soul. Because, I mean, think about it. And this is from a female perspective. We go out with a dude. You turn us on. But we get caught up like, oh, if I give him the ass too quick, he going to think I'm a hoe, this, that, and the third. Chicks, if you don't give him the ass the first night, he going to go fuck somebody else after he dropped your ass off. Or if you horny as fuck and you have second thoughts about giving him the pussy, you going to bust off anyway. You either going to fuck yourself in the shower, you're going to pull out the silver bullet, or you're going to pull out a dildo. Either way it goes, somebody going to fuck on the first night, so why not fuck each other? Don't let him go somewhere else and get some pussy when you can give it to him right then.
Makes sense to me.
Yes, we have a caller. I knew somebody was going to raise their hand when you started talking about fucking on the first night. It's a bunch of nasty men out here. Phone caller 2662, you live on the air.
Hello?
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 Yes?
I'm just want to say, I don't take nothing from you ladies. You ladies do your thing. I'm so proud of my black sisters. But when you start talking about having sex on the first...
Oh, I don't know what the fuck she got going on, but she can talk to the dial tone. But, sorry.
What was that?
Sound like somebody grandma. Sound like somebody grandma or somebody trying to be on the prank call. So yeah. I get a bunch of shit. I get a bunch of fuckery on this line like that. So, you know, I nip it in the bud real quick. I listen, but then when shit starts sounding suspect because I'm good for prank calling people, you ain't about to get me on my own show. I'll hang up. Fuck up on you. Fuck that. So, you know, everybody that's listening, sex, fuck on the first night, one-on-one. You know what I'm saying? If y'all got any questions, you know, y'all can always feel free to hit me up on Twitter or hit me on my little contact form on my website. And, you know, boom, there's nothing wrong with it. I think I should go ahead and start a little epidemic real quick. Fucked on the first night, go to different cities, make videos, hand out T-shirts, and see what kind of bullshit I come across.
Sound like a plan.
Yes, I think I'm going to do that because, you know, fucking on the first night, head is mandatory, all that shit come into play. Like I told bitches, don't be afraid to suck your man dick out the gate. Control the situation. If you can suck his dick good, that motherfucker will be faithful to you and loyal to like a motherfucking puppy. And if you
know
how to hit the balls, to hit that nutsack, shit, it's a wrap. Because can't too many bitches suck nuts. I'm sorry. I was blessed. I can do it all.
Yeah, but you saying, you don't like qualities, you put nuts in your mouth?
Huh?
You got squirrel-like qualities?
Yes, I mean, man, please. I be so smooth with it. I'm smooth with it and gentle. Then I take my tongue and hit that taint right up there. The nigga think I'm going to hit the ass. He's like, ooh. Then I come back up to the nuts and then come back up to the head and pop that motherfucker. It's a wrap. I ain't going to give y'all my secrets because then y'all going to be at home thinking about, like, shit, what the fuck? Like, what's she talking about? You know what I'm saying?
Hey, yo, I tried to log on to your site, right? Some of your videos, but it wouldn't let me upload the pictures from my phone.
Oh, you got to be on a computer for that. I don't know. That's not me. That's just that particular whack-ass site. But I'm going to school to learn how to build websites, and I'm going to take it off of there and upgrade it and, you know, do a whole lot of other shit. So, you know, like towards the summer, fall, my adult site is going to be popping because I might actually do some pay-per-view shit. You know, I still have to do an instructional head video.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that don't know how to suck dick out there. And, you know, I've been asked to show those females that challenged in the head department how to get down for the calls.
What's that, head game 101?
So you know, are you taking like models to practice on?
No, because see, you can't just suck everybody's dick. You come, boy.
You're right.
You'll get in trouble. The last, let's see, I sucked somebody dick with Pop Rocks. That motherfucker put a root on me and fucked up my life. So I got to be real. Ooh, boy, I got to be real careful about that one, boy. Nigga stole my car, got me for $2,500. Put all the hexes on me, got bit by a motherfucking spider. You know you got good pussy when a motherfucker go through the other side to try to shut you down.
You a dick drunk, huh?
I was good. I just know what I'm doing. So I was just like, damn, after that, I was like, yo, I can't be giving niggas my A game or my B game. I'll get them the CD game. But no. You give a motherfucker your
A
game.
They can't get the B game neither.
No, they can get the C or the D, but they can't get the A or the B. Oh no. No. That's a motherfucking weed that got married. I got a big ass rock on my finger. I got damn near everything that I asked for. Got several credit cards. And you just taking care of every fucking thing. I'm going to swingers clubs and you're doing what I'm asking you to do. Then you can have that B game, the A game, the A plus game. But for everybody else, oh no, y'all gonna get the C game, B game. But you ain't gonna know the difference. It's still gonna be good to you. Or whoever.
Right.
That's when you know you good, when a motherfucker don't know that you giving them some old mediocre head. They just be like, oh my God, this shit is so motherfucking good. And that's when you start laughing at their ass. And then after you go ahead and do them dirty, you write a blog and you blast it out on Twitter and Facebook, and everybody be reading about their motherfucker laughing.
Thank you very much.
So, do you guys have anything y'all want to say before the show ends?
Yes.
Go ahead, Q.
Follow us on Instagram at The Pole Magazine. Follow us on Twitter at The Pole Magazine. Log on to the website at thepolemag.com. Order your magazine, digital magazine, for $2.99. Great articles. You can actually get your physical hard copy also for $5.99. That's all I have to say. Support us, black owned business. We love the ladies, we love strippers. We love y'all for the love.
They love y'all from afar. They not gonna give y'all no dick.
Shit, I'm fucking. I'm sorry. I'm a fucking lot of love.
Oh, he fucked on the first night, y'all.
Yeah. What's that hurt you out, Sean?
Catch him in a city near you.
Yeah, man. No,
world
man,
tour.
Listen. They give it and I'm taking it.
Yeah. Yeah, but thank you for having us on, Chalk Mommy. We appreciate the love.
Oh, you're welcome. By Monday, I'll have the blog written about the show and about y'all and having the picture up, and it'll be going out on Twitter and all my social networks every 3 to 4 hours.
That's what's up.
When are you going to have us back?
When y'all want to come back.
You got to figure that out.
See, I'm about to start going on the road and doing my show. Because all of y'all are in ATL, right?
Yeah.
See, I'm going to have to come to the A and do some business.
That's a must.
Oh, of course. I'm going to come. Y'all just make sure y'all be around. We got unfinished business.
Definitely.
We're going to go to the strip club. And I'm going to see if y'all put some pussy on their way. But everybody, thank you for tuning in tonight. Make sure you guys tune in on Sunday. It's Slow Jam Sundays. I'll be playing the best in R&B music and cutting up and acting a fool. Big shout-out to the Pole Magazine. I really enjoyed meeting these guys last weekend in Atlanta. CIAA, they are from Atlanta, so y'all need to check them out. They are doing big things. Their publication is legit. There's nothing cheesy about it. Like, men, if you want a good read and you want to see something more than just tits and ass, you most definitely got to get this fucking magazine. And then, you know, make your homeboys buy it and stuff like that. It's money well spent, because I did not mind paying for mine, even though they tried to give it to me. I always support black-owned businesses. I always support anybody that has the determination to be a self-starter and an entrepreneur, because it's hard as hell, especially when motherfuckers don't believe in you. So once the finished product is out, that's when everybody want to come around. So I'm telling you, these guys are some movers and shakers. Make sure you follow them and get their magazine. When is the next issue coming out?
In 3 months.
We got...
Go ahead, Q.
It's a quarterly publication, so we dropped this one about 2 weeks ago, so we're going to print again in May. And it's going to be even hotter. We got some good upcoming articles, more ladies. And we're going to be at a store near you, God willing.
I believe in that. You know what they say, when two or more agree on earth, is bound in heaven. So, yes, y'all are going to be in some stores. So it's not anything that, you know, I would say Target, because Target is raw. Because they be having unedited CDs in they fucking store. Walmart don't. Target, or Target as we call it, and Walgreens, oh, hell yeah.
All day long.
Exactly. But I would really like to thank you guys for calling in, and I would like to thank all my listeners that tuned in. Big shouts out to Aunt with your scary ass.
Whatever, Miss Chalk.
Okay, you guys have a good night, and thank you for riding the chocolate wave.
Bye.
You too. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye, chocolate mommy.